Welcome to Feats and Fables. We appreciate your company as we delve into our 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join the conversation on social media at Feats and Fables. Follow us to adventure! Previously on Feats and Fables, our adventurers faced off with a necromancer in the City of the Dead and put him to the sword. With their leader gone, his creations all ceased to be. News from the field ward is that the violence continues. Rhaenyra Neverember came by to lament his familial connections. Manny confronted the head of the Order of the Gauntlet about his position within the group and offered to try and get information on the Zhentarim for her. His past history and the loss of his mentor have shaped his life. Trollskull Alley was shaken by a series of explosions that battered the front of the inn and caused extensive damage in the alley. Out in the street, a cloud of acrid smoke is clearing in the afternoon breeze. People are wandering around in shell shock. Overhead, you can see a wing of Griffin Cavalry has started moving in this direction, but they are far overhead. Occasionally, you will see a window box full of flowers fall to the ground as the buildings nearby are still rattling from the shock. Tiles hit the cobblestones. Pow, pow, pow. People are crying, children are screaming, but large portions of the street are regrettably silent.
Corbin kind of surveys the scene from the front door and all this wreckage, and seeing Fala kind of standing there, shell-shocked, rushes towards them. Fala, are you all right?
They're wobbly on their feet, and they reach a hand over to lean on you. They're injured with burns on the side of their face and their arm. Their clothing is on fire in small bits, and they reach down to pat it out.
I don't think so.
As they step towards me, Corbin reaches out a hand and gently touches Fala on the cheek and suffuses them with the holy power of Kelimvor, and they regain a hit point.
Fala looks a little better. Some of the blisters on the side of their face seem to retreat, and the redness pales a bit. Their eyes are full of tears.
I was just walking over to... I saw the Bigoldis had just come out of the inn, and I was going to...
And they look over at the heaps of ash in the street.
I kind of take their hand and lead them inside. They are clearly too shell-shocked for words.
The stairs are not fully functional, so it is not particularly easy to get up the stairs, but they make their way after you.
I help them
with
over.
Woozy steps.
I help them over. I'm a big, strong guy.
Malagar reaches out with both hands to help Corbin and Fala climb back up the wreckage of the stairs. He, once they're fully in the building, draws his hand crossbow and vaults over towards the wreckage that's currently in the street. He looks up and down, gesturing at Manny. Get down here! We need to cover this street. Treachery's afoot.
Kothos Brazier, what do you suppose happened out here? And as Manny stumbles down the wreckage of the front steps, he's going to pull out a flask and just kind of look around at the wreckage that is Trollskull Alley. And he's going to take just a long pull off of his flask.
What in the devil's name are you doing? Get down here.
Where do we even begin with something like this?
I want you to cover that end of the street and make sure that no one comes down here.
It's a dead end down this way, but I'll keep an eye out for anything. And I'll head down towards the carpenter, the bent nail.
Yep.
Just looking for anything out of sorts or suspicious.
One of the things that you find in the street that is definitely out of sorts is half of a fiddle. It's blackened from fire, and all the strings are wound up into curls from where they were snapped.
Well, I'll pick that up. I mean, examining it, does it look like it has anybody's like insignia or name on it?
Make me a do I remember this fiddle check.
Okay. I'll give you a wisdom check, I guess?
Sure.
Maybe insight?
Sure.
I don't know what memory would fall under.
Fine, I'll buy it.
How about a 10 insight?
You know, it takes you a moment. Perhaps you were rattled by the blast, but it takes you a moment. You walk 10 or 15 steps before you realize it. You've seen this fiddle before. They used to play in the Trollskull Alley Inn. The halfling family. The Bigolies.
I start looking around for the Bigolies and calling out for them. Taglia, Garfinnell, you're around here. Where'd you go?
There's no answer but the chaos of the street.
Malagar will peer up the other end. Does he see anything through the clouds of dust?
You see a young boy who is covered in soot and crying. You believe he's one of the kids that lives in this block. You see a well-dressed woman who's definitely of a much higher class than most of the people who live in Trollskull Alley, who's covered in soot. She's talking to a handsome man with saturnine features. You recognize the man as Vincent Trench, the PI that owns Tiger's Eye Investigations up the way. There are several still forms blackened in the street.
But nothing that's obviously dangerous out here. I think we need another pair of eyes down here.
As I'm walking down towards the bent nail, am I going past Imbrick's forge?
Yes, it's on the other side of the road.
Do I see Ava and Imbrick out there?
Yes, they both of the smiths have come out and are looking around in stunned shock.
So I'm going to go up to Imbrick and... Imbrick, I need you to get down into that blast area and see if you can't find anybody. Just anybody who's still down there, you need to pull them out of there. Ava, go down to the end of the street and see if you can't find that guard that patrols this way. What is his name? Barnabas.
Yes, I will. Imbrick's like, I can't believe somebody...
Imbrick, just get down there.
The smiths march off to their separate directions.
Khafra, we could use your eyes down here.
Oh, we're dead, aren't we?
Mostly, as usual.
This is what hell feels like, isn't it?
Khafra, get up!
Yep.
Zasper will reach down and help Khafra up by his ear.
Ow. Ow. Khafra will get up much more quickly when it's grabbing by the ear. And make a face, and then stumble out of the front and look around in shock and awe, and will reach over and run his fingers along the side of the front of the building to collect some ash, and then rub it under his eyes to cast Detect Magic and look around for anything magical.
All right, so you cast the spell.
I do cast the spell. I use the slot, and I am...
It's on now.
It hurts me so.
So you cast the spell, and there's a faint and rapidly dissipating aura of evocation magic.
Oh, that's what I was afraid of.
Well, whoever didn't like us this much is a very talented arcanist of some form.
It is treachery, then. Do you know who? Or where?
No, but I'll keep looking around.
Good. Is there more danger here?
I do not detect any at this point, but the range is limited, especially with all this ash. But let me see, I say, reaching for my dice.
Make me an Arcana check.
Woo! I have a 20.
You recognize the piquance of bat guano in the acrid smoke.
Yep.
This is not one, but multiple fireballs.
Ooh.
Also, your detect magic goes bing, bing. There's something over there.
Kafra will regret all of the life decisions that led him to this point, and instead of doing what he knows is right, which is getting the fuck away from here, we'll head towards the thing that is pipping on his detect magic.
Oh, you may have an inspiration point for your bravery.
Oh, it's like you're a true hero now, Kafra.
I knew I grabbed the right man by the ear.
What is it?
I'm not quite sure yet. Hopefully it's not something that's going to kill me more. However, I can confirm that there were multiple castings of Fireball here, in case it wasn't, obvious.
Let's go find who did this.
Right. So we, feeling emboldened by Malachar being somewhere in the nearby zip code, Kafra will head towards the pinging item.
All right.
Or person.
You,
or person's item.
You see a boy of about 12 years old. He is a human boy. Standing in the street, he's covered in soot, and his face is dark with it, except for streaks on his face where he's been crying. And he's holding something in his hand that's magical, and just kind of having hiccuping sobs.
It's a small person. Greetings, child!
Hi, hi.
What you got there?
Oh, right as it happened, I heard something plop into the rain barrel, and I reached in to found it, and then everything exploded, and I can't find my mom.
Right. Well, why don't you give me that thing that plopped in there, and then let's look for your mom. What's her name?
Kafra says as he reaches out towards the thing.
He's like, well, I was going to give it to my sister because it's a pretty necklace. And he holds up a gold necklace. It's about, oh, I don't know, 2 foot chain, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
24 inch chain. And it's a fine gold chain. And it's got a bunch of little clasps hanging off it. Not clasps. Rings hanging off of it where clearly pendants used to be. Two of them are left on there, and they're kind of round balls with flame decor on them in red gold. The clasp of the necklace is broken.
Really, I think you should give that to me. Yes, here, why don't you give that to me, and we'll go find your mother, and maybe Zasper can sing you a song. How do you like songs?
I like songs.
Great, I'll take that.
The Bigolis were teaching me how to play the drums, and I saw them right before the explosion.
make me an I convince the sobbing child to hand me the necklace check.
Fred going to lie to the child with the hope that the mother's still alive, even though he's pretty sure she's totally dead. So I'll have a 21.
Oh, okay,
the kid says and hands Kafra over the necklace.
Kafra.
The kid just kind of like sloppily almost throws it to you.
Kafra falls to the ground, hitting his knees in a way that is exceedingly painful to catch it.
Make me an eye catch the necklace.
You
may have advantage because it's hurting you.
You are literally the worst. All right, at the cost of 3 hit points, I'll have a 22 to catch it.
You catch it and cradle it to your breast gently.
Great.
Here, let's go back to the spirits now. Yes, we can. You can listen to Zasper as we get look for your mother.
He's the hero that owns the bar, right?
Yes, Zasper is the hero.
We'll go around and Kafra called
Zasper. You're still alive, right?
Zasper is still alive. He has been surveying the inside of spirits, making sure that all of the staff and patrons are as safe as they can be. And if any of them have been injured, he's been trying to do some triage. Did he discover any major injuries inside the inn?
A host of minor injuries. cuts from glass, a sprained wrist from being knocked on the floor, but they're trivial.
Zasper, could you watch over Fala? I think it might be a good idea if I bring people in here, right, so we have everyone in a central place.
Yes, that's a great idea. We can gather the injured in the inn.
Yes, I will begin doing that now, and I head back outside to begin gathering people who are injured and bringing them inside the inn where we have some amount of security.
Does the inn appear to be structurally sound other than the damage?
Make me an is the inn structurally sound check.
You know, I'm actually halfway good at that. Three.
In the immortal words of Vin Diesel, it looks clear.
All right, Zasper will continue to shepherd the disoriented and injured, confident that the inn will stand for another 100 years.
Confidence is a beautiful thing.
So Malagar will look back at Khafra and say, what have you found?
Khafra will step further away from the inn so that not everyone immediately hears, hey, I found this, you know, murder weapon. And once they are a couple of steps away, he will reach into the pouch and pull out the necklace. I believe that this appears to be a incendiary device of arcane nature. A crude but effective weapon.
I thought someone had to use something like that.
Yes, someone did have to use it, but rather than having someone be a talented spellcaster such as myself, or I suppose Zasper at certain points in his life, one can merely pluck one of these, throw it, and, well, then there goes the boom.
Are we still in any danger?
Well, if there's someone else with another one of these, yes, but I can't see them around here now. Khafra will very gingerly put it back away in the pouch, and then seal the pouch, and then make sure the pouch is sealed in a way that is only mildly, you know, neurotic.
All right, well, I guess we should start dealing with the injured then. I'll keep an eye, though, on the mouth of the alley.
Excellent. This attack could have come from anywhere, though. They just had to see where they were going to throw it. We should perhaps look to see who they were throwing it at. Based on the trajectory and what I remember from my studies, it was not thrown directly at the inn. Or they could have, you know, killed all of us.
All right. Well, I guess we'll just sort of patrol up and down while you take care of the wounded then.
So Khafra's going to look for the edge of the scorch marks and then start walking 20 feet towards the center.
So it looks like there's several of them hit. So there are several impact points.
Great.
But it looks like they're all within 15 feet of the foot of the stairs going up into the inn. There's also a number of still forms in the area of the explosions. And in fact, as you are walking towards the center of the area, you see Embrick the Smith walking around in the impact crater, seemingly unconcerned with the small fires that are still burning, and occasionally bending down to poke at some of the bodies. None of these made it.
Right. We should probably have someone skilled at that sort of thing look at it. Corbin!
There's probably a dozen bodies.
Yes.
You know, you're paladin of Kelimvor, dead folks, right? Are you supposed to say anything over these people?
Yes, why don't you gather them in one area and I'll take care of it once we get all the living to safety.
Right.
It looks like, other than Fala, there aren't too many injuries. It was sort of you were either just tossed around or you were dead. There's
right,
not
either
a lot of
area effect or you weren't.
Sure. Correct.
Well, in that case, since there is no influx of injured into the inn, Zasper will come out looking for them.
Yep, so I'll begin arranging the bodies. I'll begin taking the bodies out of the craters and arranging them into a rough row so I can begin ministrations.
Okay.
So those were the people that were at the center of the explosion?
I believe so, but there are multiple centers of explosion, sadly.
Not in the center, within the area. So it's a fireball.
Mm-hmm.
It is not extra explodey in the middle. It is just as explodey 20 feet out as it is in the center.
Right, but if you were going to kill someone with a fireball, they'd probably be in the middle.
Theoretically, except there were many of them launched.
Yeah, there's multiple.
Half a dozen or so of them got launched.
Okay.
So it's many, not precisely overlapping blast areas. It's like boom, 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 boom.
You see, Ron, when you're carpet bombing something.
I thought there were three. I didn't realize there were six.
There were several.
Malaga's ears.
Right. Right, so Corbin begins gathering up the bodies from outside of the, from in the blast areas, for lack of a better term, and begins kind of lining them up for ministrations.
Sure. The first one you happen to pull out of the exploded area is Ordesca Zimli, your walking partner.
So, well, they're working on all of that, Paige. Manny's going to continue to work his way down the alley to see who, like, he's basically going to be taking inventory of hopefully everybody coming out of their houses to see what's going on, and he's going to be taking note of anybody who is not doing that. And
not coming out of their house?
Sure.
Okay.
Because that in his book is suspicious. So when he gets to the Bent Nail, he's going to duck into that alley and drink, starting to hyperventilate. He is just going to finish off his flask, and as he kind of crunches down and like, oh by the gods.
You haven't smelled that much charred flesh in a very long time.
Yeah, it's been a minute since Flan.
Corbin continues to kind of gather the body. His veins begin to glow, and his eyes begin to shine slightly.
Okay. The next one you pull out is a human man wearing a cloak that you don't recognize.
I continue about my grisly business.
Zasper will help with the carrying. So I assume you didn't find any culprits or anything?
No.
Or Corbin would be
doing... I mean, either Corbin or Malagar seemed quite, you know, shooty-shooty about someone fucking on our turf, I guess? Is that how you phrase that?
Yes, I believe they're stepping it to us.
I'm not sure how any of this works.
There's a clatter of hooves from the street north of Trollskull Alley, and shouts of, "Where the watch? Where the watch?" Something that the watchmen shout to get people out of the way of their wagon.
I continue gathering bodies.
Yes.
Members of the city guard come up, and they have very similar reactions to what you did. They start looking for the injured, finding that the injured are more or less handled because there's not many of them. They start saying, "Has anybody seen someone fleeing from the scene? Excuse me, who are you? Which building do you live in?" And they start sort of trying to match up each person with what they're doing in Trollskull Alley. "We're waiting for a watch captain. No one leave."
When Manny hears that the watch have showed up, he's going to try and start composing himself, coming back out of the alley. Looks like everybody down here is accounted for. What did we find up here? Also, I found this. Has anybody seen those halflings? And I'll hold out the broken pieces of the fiddle.
Oh, hell.
Have I found them yet?
The next four bodies are all halflings.
They're there, and I continue
two children,
gathering
two
bodies.
Adults. Mm.
Kafra's gonna check the human body to see if it is anything like Rainier's.
Good thought. No, there is another male human that you do not recognize, wearing leather armor with a sheathed longsword that is unknown to you.
Does he have any other identifying marks as someone that's actually wearing armor and carrying a weapon?
I don't know. Make me an eye search the body check.
I mean, that's fine. The watcher just right here. That should be cool, right?
Well, you're helping carrying it, of course.
I mean, I would require first a dexterity deception roll to be able to check the corpse without looking like you're checking the corpse.
Nice. 20, yeah, 25.
All right. You believe you can search the body surreptitiously as you're pulling it out of the burned area.
Great. I fumble with it in a way because I'm sore and a weakling so that I can put my hands over it more.
Sure.
It's a hot night for me is all I'm going to say. I have a 21 on investigation.
Sure. As you're pulling him out, you have to pull him by his hands because you can't pick him up. One of his sleeves pulls back, and on the inside of his right arm, on just below his elbow, you see a tattoo of a black winged snake.
What? Are you all right?
Corbin, you notice that that body over there is a gnome, and one you don't recognize.
I put it with the rest of the bodies.
You notice that she has dry waste on her clothes, like she's been in the sewers, and you know that because it wasn't too long ago till you were rooting around in the sewers.
Do I notice anything else with my relatively high passive perception?
Passive perception wise,
and
yes. Like,
and I am picking up the body and moving it into the line of bodies that I'm creating.
Sure, sure. You notice that she has a pouch at her waist. It seems like it's got something in it. Also, with your relatively high passive perception, you recognize some of your other neighbors from Troll Skull Alley. Janzoon Panella, the chef, is among the dead, as are the ladies that from across the street that drink tea over here sometimes.
My eyes begin to emit light.
All right. The guard is actually helping you move bodies in a row. The most senior guard there comes over and says, "We appreciate your help. We will have to ask you to step away from the bodies until the guard captain gets here. It's a matter of evidence, I'm sure you understand."
I turn to her and make an intimidate check.
Okay.
My eyes are literally glowing out of their sockets, and when my mouth opens, light emits from it. I'm doing my god's work. I have a 22 intimidate.
All right, she backs the fuck up, because that's what people do. She says, sure, I'm just trying to preserve evidence for the watch. I'm just asking you, please don't...
I do not stop.
Rifle. She follows you.
I have clearly not rifled anything.
And within a couple of moments, two people walk up. You recognize Barnabas Blastwind.
Ah, my good friend Barnabas.
And a City Watch sergeant named Scythe Cromley. They quietly take charge of the investigation. Barnabas watches Corbin move the bodies into a
I'm at this point well. Emitting light like a torch.
Fair.
So as they move to get us away from the bodies and to take over the investigation, Kafra will turn the guy that he's dragging's arm over to show it to Malagar, because Malagar was the closest one to see the symbol, which was flying snake?
Black-winged snake.
Black-winged snake.
What?
So a flying snake in black.
Yes.
What is that?
It's a sign.
Is it a sign that I know?
It is something that is pretty obvious. That is the symbol of the Zentarum.
Mm. Oh, the Zents. Were we expecting their company?
Not that I'm aware of.
Once Corbin has all the bodies lined up, the two people from the watch start looking at them quite closely, looking in their pouches, tracing, they start interrogating Corbin very closely about where they came from, where each body was.
He tells them.
Sure.
Continuing to glow like a torch.
The watch is starting to go around and talk to people. Watch captain comes up to Zasper and says, excuse me, sir. She's got a notepad. What is your name?
Yeah. Zasper of the Trollsbane Hoteliers Consortium.
Yes. Do you have a surname?
The Hero.
Not at this time, no.
Do you live in Trollskull Alley?
Yes, I'm one of the owners of the establishment of spirits.
Right. Were you here when the explosion happened?
Yes.
What did you see?
I saw fire.
Where were you?
Inside of the inn.
So you saw fire, and then what happened?
And then there was noise. It was over quite quickly. The outside was wreathed in smoke, and I checked for injuries in the inn while my companions surveyed the outside.
All right. Do you have any plans to travel out of Waterdeep?
Yes.
When?
When I have a gig outside of Waterdeep to play songs.
Do you have any plans to travel outside of Waterdeep in the next 2 days?
No.
She continues writing things down. And the watch, like, the guards keep saying, no, you do it. One of the watch comes up to Kafra. Excuse me, sir, what is your name?
What's your name?
They narrow their eyes and tilt their head.
And what's your badge number while we're at it?
My name is Greggett, and my badge number is 16842. That's my watch supervisor. What is your name?
Ah, it's a pleasure to meet you, Greggett. I'm Kafra Tanab.
Kafra Tanab?
Yes.
What is your residence? Do you live in Trollskull Alley?
I do.
Where?
I live right over there.
Kafra turns and points directly at Spirits, which is directly behind him.
That's the Trollskull Alley Inn.
That is Spirits.
Yes, of course. Were you here when the explosion happened?
I was indeed, regrettably.
What did you see happen?
Well, I saw the building shook, and then I fell over, and then I stared at the ceiling and was pretty sure I was dying.
And then what happened?
And then my friends, who are also co-owners and spirits, got up and went outside because they're the foolish bastards that run into danger. And then they lured me out and we looked around and investigated.
Did you find anything the watch should know about?
We found that there were a number of bodies, which you can see that Corbin is tending to. We found that the Smiths were still alive and they've been spurred into action.
Anything else?
No.
I need an eye bullshit the watch check.
I would love to give you that.
You are aware, as a longtime resident of Waterdeep,
yeah,
that withholding information pertinent to an investigation from the City Watch, yeah, is a crime called hampering justice,
mm-hmm,
and can result into fines and hard labor.
Yep. But thankfully I have a 19.
All right. The watch captain herself rolls up to Malagar. Excuse me, sir, what is your name?
Is Kafra saying that loud enough for me to hear?
Oh yeah, because we're right next to each other.
As Kafra makes these sins of omission, Malagar sort of makes a face, because now he has to do things. Yes.
What is your name, sir?
Malagar.
Do you spell that in Elvish or Common?
Elvish. Drow Elvish.
I'm familiar.
Yeah.
Do you live in Trollskull Alley?
Yes, in spirits here with
another one.
Co-proprietors.
Were you here when the explosion happened?
Yes, I was.
Can you describe to me what happened?
There was an explosion and the front of our establishment caved in around us.
Then what happened?
And then there was the aftermath of an explosion.
Did you see someone running away? Did you find what exploded? Do you have any more information that could be useful?
While I would love to cooperate with your investigation, I am afraid I won't be able to say anything further without my counsel present.
She heaves a big sigh.
As is indicated in the subsection 12.
Barnabas, we got someone lawyering up over here.
As is indicated in the subsection 12 of the municipal code.
Yes, I'm aware, sir.
But you have my contact information, and I'm not planning on leaving this town for a couple days.
Thank you. It's like you've answered these questions before.
Occasionally. But if you'll check my record, I've got an injunction filed against me that prevents me from doing anything particularly criminal anymore without some grievous financial penalty.
Is Manny still back around the corner?
No. He composed himself and came out addressing the larger group, which included the guards, that everyone has or has not been accounted for as is appropriate for the circumstance down the courtyard of Troll Skull Alley.
Okay. Make me an I chat with the guards amiably check.
Sure, so I've got a 13 persuasion.
Because you are helping the guard do their job and providing them with information about who you saw where, they seem to have a good attitude towards you. They do, however, need your information. What is your name, sir?
Sure, as I ask this, I pull out my flask and, like, go to take a drink from it, but it's empty. You wouldn't happen to have anything on you, would you?
The woman who's taking the notes kind of rolls her eyes, but one of the guys behind her elbows her and then passes over his flask.
Cool. I finish off her flask as well. And then the name's Manny Lowfield.
Lowfield. All right. Were you here when it happened?
I was inside my bar there, Spurts.
Right. Trolls, Bane, Hoteliers, Society?
Spirits. Right. It says right there on the sign.
Oh no, that sign is gone. Oh. What did you see?
Not much. We were in there enjoying a drink when all of a sudden the front of our inn got, well, blown in. And the next thing I knew, I was on my back looking up at the ceiling.
And what did you do after that?
Well, I came out here to see the hells that are going on out here, and it looks like a war happened right on our front stoop.
It does look like a war at that. And what did you see? Who did you see out here?
Mostly the bottom of my mug and then the ceiling and then, well, I mean, take a look around. We've got the blacksmith across the road there. They were coming out just as we were, and I got them into action before heading down towards the bent nail there, and I'll kind of point down the road. As I was stumbling down the street there, that's where I came across this, and I'll show them the fiddle, because I've got no reason to, nor the pockets to hide a fiddle in.
One of the guardsmen takes it. All right. They question you for a few more minutes about who you talked to and where they were, taking careful notes as they talk to you.
Sure. I have nothing really to hide from them.
Sure.
When I got to the end of the street there, down at the carpenter, I immediately made sure they were okay and headed right back.
I see. Thank you very much, sir.
And sorry about your flask. You might need a refill there.
It's fine. This is a tragedy, she says, putting it in her belt. Why don't you come back up to the inn? It looks like my boss is looking to talk to people.
Well, I think everybody's already starting to gather there. We'll pull everybody in. Zasper, let's get everybody inside them. Get a drink.
I will get out the alcohol we give Manny when he's like this. For most people, it would be some sort of cleaning solution, but
it is a cleaning solution.
He doesn't appear to mind.
No. The spirits bar and hotel does not serve cleaning solution alcohol. Zesper, we're not going to soil our good name in this time of need by serving these poor people.
Right.
Swill such as that. They've been through enough.
No, that's all for you.
I don't even know what to say to that. I go right past the cleaning supplies to the top shelf.
No, you'll want the cleaning supplies. It's what we've been serving you in the past. It calmed you right down.
Is that why you woke up blind the other day?
It's not actually cleaning supplies. It just could be used as cleaning supplies.
There's right. a lot of juniper.
It's grain alcohol.
The carbon kind of turns from the bodies, having gotten them all into a prepared state, and turns and walks towards the inn.
As you are walking towards the inn, you note a group of people have kind of rushed up to the edge of the alley, and guards are shuffling them in. You recognize them as clergy of various faiths. Many of them are still like belting their belts together or shrugging their other arm into their coat. They move over to the bodies and begin casting gentle repose on every one of them.
Sure.
You got here.
As the clerics take over the ministrations to the bodies, Seth Cromley, the City Watch sergeant, comes up and says, "This is quite a tragedy."
It is.
"You realize I have to question you."
"Begin."
"What is your full name?"
"Corbin Silvertarn."
He points to Spirits Residence.
"Yes, I'm one of the co-owners."
"You were in there when it happened, like the
rest
of them?" "I was." "What did you see?"
"I experienced a series of loud noises, not unlike explosions. I made my way outside. I saw a great deal of smoke, a great deal of debris."
As you are talking, you hear... Griffins have landed on roofs all over the alley, and the Griffin Riders of Waterdeep are keeping watch over the area.
"Huh.
You know it's exciting when the Griffin Cavalry shows up."
"Mm-hmm. "Yes, I was not expecting that. A little surprising."
"We don't get explosions every day."
"That is true. I made my way outside. I saw Fala Leafalir outside. They seemed a little shell-shocked, so I took them inside. Then I looked for any other injured people. I did not find any. I began gathering the bodies, which I'm going to minister to now, unless you have any other questions."
"I would like our clerics to finish casting gentle repose."
"Of course. I will not do anything which is less than what Kelimvor demands of me."
"Of course. I wouldn't expect otherwise. You understand that most crime scenes don't have a paladin of Kelimvor on hand, and so we're somewhat uncertain how to deal with people touching the bodies before we get here."
"I understand. Do you have any further questions for me?"
"I would like to use spirits." You got the impression he was about to say Trollskull Alien. Sort of watch over the people that were here, so we can take an inventory of the alley and who's here, if you don't mind."
"Of course not. We are friends to the watch."
"Of course. Well, let's head in, shall we?"
I head up to my room to gather my clerical supplies.
Okay. The watch has assembled y'all downstairs, as well as Fala Lefalier. And a very lovely, well-dressed woman who looks like a noble, as well as Vincent Trench, who none of you know personally, but you know of him as the detective who is in charge of Tiger's Eye Investigations, who's another business on Trollskull Alley, as well as some of the people surviving. However, you have lost all of your closest neighbors. The Bigoli family, as well as Jansun Panzella and Ardeska Grimley, had just left the inn when the explosion happened, and they are among the dead. Also among the dead are some people you don't know, which include a gnome, two humans wearing leather armor with sheathed longswords that you don't know.
For the working man.
Apparently.
So, in Spirits, the neighborhood gets rounded up. You have Imbric and Avi, the Fire Genasi and Water Genasi. You have Fala Lefalir, who's the Elven Herbalist from across the street. I mentioned Vincent Trench, the PI from Tiger's Eye Investigations. Apparently, the well-dressed woman is his client. and almost incoherent with shock. Chubby dragonborn is shuffled in. You recognize him as Rashal the Page Turner from the Bookworm's Treasure. And March from Trek, who is the little boy that you got the necklace of fireballs in, is shuffled in with his mom.
Coffer, you found his mom. Good job. You're a real hero.
That's not even the same child.
Oh, shit. Well.
However, I appreciate the congratulations. How have you been doing, Manny? You holding up okay?
I'm doing real good now. And I have clearly had a couple of drinks, just a few. But haven't seen anything like this in a while. How about you? You look like you need a drink. Here, some rockshade and, well, a special mixer on top for you.
Manny, are you all right?
I'm perfectly good. Let's get these people some drinks. Get their minds off of all of that.
We're serving tea, Manny. Chamomile tea.
Also, you're sweating and gasping for air.
I am.
You are. Maybe you would like to sit down.
Also, there
yes, it's just all the excitement, I suppose.
I understand.
There's these strange streaks down the soot that's on your face, like you tried to rub them and didn't quite.
Medi turns away and is just like, fucking at soot in my eye is all it is.
I will
nothing wrong with that.
Why don't you come in back and wash up?
Right.
So the watch shivvies the neighborhood inside of spirits and goes around talking to each of them, and they're carefully taking notes. However, Manny, Corbin, and Kafra, you realize what the watch is doing is keeping you entertained in here. Sergeant Barmus Blastwind and Saith Cromley are actually outside with the clerics looking at each of the bodies in great detail.
Say Vincent.
The laconic, saturnine featured man turns around. Yes.
You've got that shop around the way, that business service looking into things, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You didn't happen to see anything out there, did you? I hear you're quite sharp-eyed.
I am, hence the Tiger's Eye investigation.
Right.
However,
hence I'm asking you.
Client had just left. I was in my office filing paperwork. I heard the explosion and ran out to see what happened and found that Jezrin was certainly shaken up in the experience. He points to his rather elegant clothes and says, as you can see, I was not anywhere near the explosion.
Right. I was hoping you weren't near the explosion, but that your eyes had seen something. But you said Jezrin might have seen something. They were outside. They appeared to be relatively unscathed.
Yeah, she's kind of the high-strung type, so she's more rattled than anything.
Oh, excellent. I think I know just who should talk to her. Hey, Malagar.
Yes?
There's a beautiful woman over there who was outside during the time of the explosion. Perhaps you should ask her if she saw anything?
She seems a bit upset right now.
Yes, but aren't you good at, you know, talking to women?
Good at talking to everyone, really.
Great! Then you can ask her if she saw anything.
Are we conducting our own investigation while the watch is here?
I mean, why not? We might uncover something they missed. Besides, not everyone wants to talk to the authorities. Kafra winks.
We are so diligent. I'll see what she knows.
Kafra, when did you become so interested in helping others? This isn't you. Are you sure you weren't replaced by, like, a doppelganger or something? And I kind of, like, poke your face a little bit?
No. We have an established protocol.
When you say doppelganger, a couple, because Manny has no ability to modulate his voice. A couple people in the watch kind of turn and look at the two of you with very curious looks.
Granted, all of the watch has seen Minnie finish off not one, but two flasks, as well as several tankards. I'm just saying.
What was her name again?
Jazren, I believe.
Jazren. Malagar will saunter over to Jazren. How is she doing?
She's drinking chamomile tea, which Zasper has provided for her, with a shaking hand, and looking sort of sightlessly out the place where there once was windows in the inn.
Can I get you anything else, madam?
No. A cab, a coach. I would like to go home soon.
Of course. I think the watch, though, still has a few questions for us. You know, it was a rather terrible thing. I think the lot of us proprietors were inside, and we didn't really see very much in the process. I can't imagine what you observed.
I saw a shape. I tell you, it wasn't a man. It was more like a puppet shaped like a man. It was like a puppet without strings. It was up on the rooftop, and it hurled something down at the street that caused the explosion of those halflings. I saw them.
It's a dreadful. What rooftop? Which rooftop?
She points to a spot. Across from the Troll Skull Alley south, so it would have been almost on top of Coralon's Crown, where Fala works and lives. So almost directly south.
You said it looked like a human?
No, it was definitely not a human. It was not a human or an elf or a dwarf or a,
it was bigger.
No, it was that size, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't.
It was insubstantial.
No. It was solid. It was just like parts and shapes and angles. It wasn't a man. It was like a puppet. It was like a marionette, like one of those things that artists have with it's
yes.
a figure with the parts that you bend. It didn't look like a person. It wasn't a man. Like the halflings looked so happy. They were singing.
They were. It was their way. I'm very sorry, m'lady, but.
Like she's holding the saucer and the teacup, and they're just rattling as her hands shake.
Let me get you a cloth.
Thank you.
Malaga will duck behind the bar and grab
a tea towel
and hand it over to her. Now, you must be strong and tell the watch what you've seen as well.
Okay. She has another shaky sip of tea, and after a moment, one of the watch captains comes over and talks to her briefly. The watch captain shoots you a grateful look.
Malaga will loiter as she talks to the watch in case she lets go of anything else that he missed.
She recites the same thing, kind of phrases it differently, but her story seems to not change. She does allow that she was leaving Tiger's Eye Investigations because she had just hired Vincent to spy on her philandering husband.
Malaga will come back to his bunch and relay the story. So she said she saw something that was not quite humanoid, but puppet-like up on the rooftop across the street there.
Strange.
It was the thing that hurled the, whatever it was that caused this explosion.
Zasper?
Yes?
I saw that you let Fala in earlier. Did you talk to them to see if they remembered anything?
No.
Perhaps you should try that now that things have quieted down a little bit. You're quite the talker.
That's an excellent idea. I will approach Fala where they are ensconced in one of our better chairs, as they were one of the first wave
of people that were impacted by the explosions.
You see Fala at a table sipping tea. Ironically, it's one of the teas that they had brought over to Spirits. They are definitely rattled, but they look like they are in much better shape than they were when this whole thing started.
So this is quite the evening we're having.
I've never had any evenings or days like this. I think that might have been a fireball. I think it might have been several of them.
Fireball makes sense. Powerful fire explosion.
But I didn't hear
somewhat contained
spellcasting though. I personally am not a spellcaster, but I would recognize it.
It is very distinctive and difficult to conceal. And you were right out on the street. Did you happen to notice anything like the fireball spell actually starts as a little ball of fire and then it goes somewhere and it explodes. So you might have seen like streaks of light.
I wasn't facing, I think, in the right direction. Mm. The blast hit me mostly on one side and then blew me back a ways and caught my clothes on fire. But now that I think about it, and I just told the guard this, through the smoke, I saw a cloaked man take something from the body of a dead gnome or halfling, some small folk, and then start limping away. This person, I say man, I couldn't really see them. This person was badly burned and was trying to get away furtively. I think they might have been caught in the explosion as well.
Interesting. So a possible suspect, or perhaps just a opportunist?
I don't know. Mm.
Well, unfortunately, they're probably long gone at this point.
I suspect so.
But you said they were limping?
I think they were caught in the blast.
What type of limp? Left foot, right foot, knee?
I had a lot of soot in my eyes. I didn't really... I'm not sure.
Okay.
Their gait was uneven, like they were wounded.
Interesting.
As you're talking to Paula, Barma's Blastwind comes into the end and murmurs to some of the guards, and the guards round the five of you up. It's like, gentlemen, could we talk someplace private, perhaps upstairs?
Of course. Do you wish to talk to us in our capacity as the Trollsbane Hoteliers Consortium, or
who?
As the Exculpatory Mortuary Scourers?
I would like to talk to you in your capacity as the residents and owners of this particular place.
Ah, the former then.
Shall we? He gestures upstairs.
Yes, we will happily go to the upstairs of our place of residence at your direction.
Do you still have that balcony over the street? He actually heads out there. It's like, I used to smoke cigars out on this balcony when I was much younger. From what it looks like, 5, 6, or 7 fireballs ignited at the front steps of your inn. Is there anyone you have aggravated to the point where they think that that is an adequate way to discourage you from doing something? It's my, yes. Come to my attention that you're adventurers.
Absolutely. We have defeated a handful of evils.
There was that necromancer last night. He could have cast a fireball at us. Yes.
Or one of his necromantic brethren using one of their lesser used arts to throw us off their necromantic trail.
Oh, there's the scarecrow. Perhaps one of them is after us.
That's true.
Do
it could be undead. Gorbin. It seems a little odd for an undead attack, though.
I mean, I'm just thinking about it now in retrospect. We deal with a lot of undead.
Yes. If your question is whether we could have been targeted specifically, the answer is absolutely yes. However, if they were attempting to target us, then Despite the large number of fireballs at their disposal, they were not terribly accurate.
We've identified all but three of the bodies. All but three of the bodies seem to be residents of Trollskull Alley.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you know who the two human men or the female gnome are?
I do not recognize them.
I could only assume they're patrons of our inn.
Well,
they were not.
We don't know every single one of our customers.
They were not.
They could have, I guess, been coming to our inn for the first time and didn't make it, which would be bad.
I've never been here before.
I mean, how do we know that? We haven't been here for the first several days.
Well, we knew everyone that was in the inn right before the explosion.
Mr. Lowfield does have a point. You, as I understand it, aren't here all the time. The Colonel and Mixie and Theodore, as I have talked to your staff as well, did not recognize them either. Theodore says he thinks he would recognize most of your regulars and doesn't recognize them.
He's got an eye for people, Theodore does.
He would be the one to ask. I'd stay away from the captain, though.
The Colonel.
What did I say?
Right.
So, you're saying that you found dead people outside, and you don't know why?
That is correct, and I'm wondering if they were the targets of a particularly showy assassination attempt. And what I can't figure out is why the assassination attempt took place here.
Well, I mean, there are quite a few people that regularly come to our establishment that are of great importance. Maybe there's after one of them.
Or perhaps someone was told to meet someone here, as is common at inns, and they were waiting for them to approach it, and then fireballed the bejesus out of them?
If it was an assassination attempt, who do you think it was? Who do you think the target was? It wasn't any of the residents here.
That seems unlikely. They're pretty pedestrian folk.
Judging by
yes.
where the other bodies... than you.
Judging by where the bodies were found, were the men guarding the gnome?
Barnabas Blastwind thinks for a minute and says, I really shouldn't comment on my own findings.
Because if someone, you know, if the gnome was rich enough to hire, you know, a pair of armed bodyguards, then they could easily merit assassination attempt.
I, as I said, really shouldn't comment.
All right, well, do you want some tea?
Something a little stronger, perhaps?
No, thank you, I am on duty.
No more than any other adventurers in this city have we done anything that would cause this level of retribution.
To be honest, quite less than many other adventurers.
We are
we
on
recently
the up
defeated
and up.
A necromancer, but that was at the behest of the Temple of Kelimbor.
I believe when the dragon flies our sign over the city in the next week or so, our reputation will go up a notch or two.
Dragon's breath rather than a fireball, then, do you?
Seems somewhat unlikely.
I mean, they probably would have noticed something like a dragon in the area.
They're not the stealthiest.
There are no dragons in Waterdeep, sir.
Well, that's good to know that you're doing your jobs.
That's not us. That's the Blackstaff.
It was Volothamp. He was coming back after us to get the place back.
That...
If you think Volothamp is capable of that level of destruction, then you've seen a different man than I have.
What about that, who is that guy that we did the job for who wrote the book? Vala?
Right.
Volo.
You're on to something here, my friend.
You don't suppose that he might have had something to do with this? He did owe us a lot of money, and I can only suppose that he owed somebody else a lot of money, so they... Maybe he sent them after us to... I don't know.
And not to mention, the fireballs hit in such rapid succession that it almost would have been... had to have been multiple casters.
That is my understanding, and that sort of concerted spellcasting at that level is something that I feel is very troubling.
So it was probably an organization, like the Order of the Gauntlet, or the Calamarites. I mean,
or the Harpers.
Yes, that's
if
true.
If we're throwing
none
names around,
none of these organizations, gentlemen, would do something like this. They're all far more subtle, except for the Order of the Gauntlet, who wouldn't use fireballs. They'd just march troops through here.
That's true. And we haven't really done anything to antagonize the Xanathrites or the Zents.
Didn't we save Floon Blagmar from the...
Goddamn, from the Xanathar? Yes.
Right.
Yes. No, I had it right.
Well, we did, but until now, the only people that knew that were us and Floon.
Floon gave a full reporting to the Watch. As I understand it, he was originally kidnapped by members of the Zentarum and stashed in a warehouse.
What?
After that, he was moved to an underground facility where you rescued him from members of the Xanathar gang.
Right, along with Rainier. Who else yes. do these things?
Rainier ended up left in the warehouse that the Zentarum and the Kenku.
Wait a minute, don't a lot of people hate Rainier and his father? Perhaps what somebody was trying to extract or take revenge on him for some reason.
Rainier is nowhere near here.
But he is known to frequent here quite often.
Right, but if they were going to target Rainier, they would have targeted Rainier. They wouldn't have randomly attacked a street that he might have been on.
Perhaps we should keep an eye on the female gnome corpse that might, over time, transmogrify it back into a human.
That would be rather strange. What stranger things have happened here in the City of Splendors?
Don't leave town. You'll be watched by the guard. Expect people to come by every day, sometimes twice a day, to ascertain your whereabouts.
Sounds great.
We are going to have to charge them, though, if they want any food.
It's understood.
Coffee is gratis.
Thank you.
Well, but just drip. We'll sell some fancy coffee here.
We'll be back with more questions before long, I'm sure.
I have to say, I really do have a problem with that cat's iced coffee appuccino things that she serves here. I don't get it.
What don't you get? They're delicious.
And addictive. And we charge a lot of money for them.
Theater says the margin is spectacular.
At that, the guard leaves.
I follow him out. I make my way down to the bodies and begin ministering to them.
All right. People are hanging around them. The dragonborn that runs the bookshop up the way is sitting on what remains of one of the planters out in front of spirits, looking at the bodies of Ordesca Zenly and sobbing.
I go over and put my hand on her shoulder.
Well, it's a dragonborn, hard to tell.
So I break out the incense and begin laying it upon each of the fog of incense upon each of the bodies. And I'll say a prayer for the dead for each of them. Lord of the dead, we pray for you. Death is not evil, it is but a part of life. The great guide this one to their eternal rest. Let perpetual light shine upon them. May their soul and the souls of all the departed, through the mercy of the Master of the Crystal Spire, pass on to the City of Judgment. I kind of go on and do that for each of the bodies.
All right. Each of the bodies has a dusting of salt over their eyes and copper pieces, which are the material components of gentle repose as well.
I will not disturb them.
Correct.
To this.
Zasper, what was that you were going on about the gnome and transmogrifying back into a human or something?
Well, I feel like the gnome might have been the target of these fireballs. I was talking to our customers and Jezerin saw a being that she couldn't identify, and Fala also saw a suspicious person that had an erratic gait that went to the gnome's person and then left, like they were taking something, or perhaps putting something there. Like an opportunist looting, although if they were associated with the people that did the fireballs, then it would have been part of some sort of plan. So that's why I didn't know if maybe the gnome was the key and we should keep a closer eye on their corpse. And I came up with a ludicrous idea that they were going to transmogrify back to throw the watch off the scent brilliantly.
Gisela did say that she saw a strange puppet-like figure on the rooftop hurling what I suppose was the fireball bomb down into the street.
Fireball bomb? Not a, casting a spell?
It was an object.
Oh yes, this. Kafa reaches into his pouch and pulls out a necklace of fireballs with two beads on it. This was recovered shortly after the attack. But it would make sense. After all, one of the individuals that was near the gnome was marked as a member of the Zentarum.
Wait a minute, what does a bit of jewelry have to do with a fireball?
This is a crude magical implement that contains an evocation spell that unleashes a fireball into the world, ripping apart the weave in the most destructive and uncouth fashion.
It does have the merit that any old person can use it, though, not only magically inclined people.
So then it might not be a spellcaster that we're looking for.
I mean, it wouldn't make sense because any idiot can throw a handful of beads at a street.
But yes. Wait a minute, you said that those two blokes down on the streets were Zentarum.
Oh, I didn't know about two of them, but one of them definitely was. Perhaps the strange, janky figure that was relayed to you was a member of the Xanathar Guilds.
The witness seemed to think that it wasn't any mortal creature, though.
Not mortal?
Like she said it didn't move quite like a human or an elf or really anything else.
So maybe it was a beholder that just had like a mannequin suspended from it?
I suppose.
Didn't she say that there was a gnome who was investigating Rhaenyra or something? Maybe the Zentarum were looking to pick up Rhaenyra again and thought that this gnome might have some information on him.
Quite possibly. The gnome seemed like they were likely moving in a surreptitious way. That's the only reason I can think of why they would have a whole bunch of sewer mud caked onto their boots.
Sewer mud? That is pretty suspicious. Especially if they can afford bodyguards.
Still doesn't explain why somebody would want to both rob them and blow them up. But that aside, shouldn't we go and find Rhaenyra? He could be in danger.
Once Corbin finishes his job down there, then they'll take the bodies off to the City of the Dead. We can ask Corbin to ask Mother Dethrit to do a speak with dead to find out if perhaps there was information that the fireball silenced the gnome from sharing. And then we can go from there. Speaking of Corbin, Kafra leans out the window and looks to see what Corbin's up to.
So Corbin is actually in the process of, now that the guards are finished with the bodies, getting the bodies loaded onto a series of wagons that he has functionally flagged down off the city streets to transport all these bodies to the City of the Dead, or to the Temple of Kilimvor, where they will rest.
Within a short amount of time, the bodies are loaded up and carted out of the alley.
I travel with them. So I will walk back inside and back up to the balcony and say, I'm going to accompany the bodies to the City of the Dead.
Well, we should let you go alone then. Let's go.
Do you think your friends can get some information out of them?
Do you mean?
We have reason to believe the gnome may have been the target. Would like to speak with them in the way that your people speak with them.
I believe Lady Everdon or Mother Death could easily arrange that.
Great, let's go.
We all head down to the wagon train.
Right. It is a short carriage ride to the City of the Dead. The guard have cleared out the epic Waterdavian traffic out of the way, so it takes less time than it would have at any other time that you have made that journey. The City of the Dead is bucolic in the late summer, early fall sun. There are people picnicking among the hills and the monuments there. Your journey is much darker as it takes you inside the edifice that is the Temple of Kelvor. As you come in, Lady Everdon comes up and says, "This is an unexpected surprise."
Not a pleasant one, sadly.
Not a pleasant one. I hear there was an explosion.
Several, in fact.
Have they found out who did it and why?
No, but we could use some assistance, perhaps, to speak to one of them. We believe the gnome was the target, and he might have some information that might be able to lead us to who did this.
That could be arranged.
Excellent.
I will need a list of questions.
Very well. I will have those for you in several minutes.
My acolyte will do the spell casting, but only they will be able to hear the voice of the dead. You will have to inform them what the questions are.
Very well. I turn to my companions. What questions do we wish to ask the gnome?
Well, I think we should ask the gnome why they were coming to spirits, what they might have that would be worth stealing.
Mm-hmm. Well, something was taken from them, you said, right?
Yes.
Yes, that's what...
We could ask them what was taken. The dead would understand that question. They would be able to answer it succinctly.
Who attacked them?
We can ask if they know who attacked them. That's what, three questions?
Yes. Mm.
We could ask them who they are.
Maybe a solid
yeah, who they are, sure.
Is there anything else that we should know about your demise?
Perhaps you should ask them how they're associated with Rhaenyra.
Ooh, like a curveball question.
If Rhaenyra said that there was a gnome sent by his father to see into his affairs, and if this is that gnome...
It's a fine fifth question in my mind.
Agreed.
The Temple of Kelvor actually has a basement. It also has a variety of sub-basements and sub-sub-basements and sub-sub-sub-basements that serve no known purpose. But today, you are merely in the basement, areas of which are chilled with tufts of brown mold, bringing the temperature to just above freezing. In this area, a variety of bodies are kept as they are laid in state, as they are prepared for burial, or sometimes as they are stored so that the city watch may have them as evidence in a variety of criminal cases. You are brought to one of the examination rooms, which is a lovely, cold, echoing marble room. A variety of bodies are laid out on marble slabs. It is cold enough in here where each piece of metal on your equipment rapidly starts to have droplets of moisture on it as it condenses out of the air. A sallow-skinned cleric is waiting for you. She looks at Corbin and nods quietly at him.
I nod back.
And says in a very quiet tone, "Do you have the questions?"
We do.
Coffer produces the questions and offers them out.
We have her, offer her a sheet of paper with the questions on them.
In a fine script.
She takes a moment to read it. "All right, this will just take a moment." She goes over to a cabinet, opening it and pulling out a variety of ritual supplies. She takes fragrant blocks of incense, putting them at the head and feet of the gnome's corpse, and lights them and spends a few moments meditating and then casts a spell. As she does, a ghostly figurine of the gnome stirs and sits upright, the black eyes looking at you all sightlessly. She recites the first question, which is...
Why was the gnome going to spirits?
As she recites the question, the figure of the gnome that's a ghostly shadow turns to look at the cleric, and the gnome says in a hissing voice, "I worked for the true open Lord of Waterdeep. I heard about a group of adventurers who had rescued Lord Never Ember's son from the Zhentarim and thought the Stone of Golor would be safe in their hands for the time being. Join us next week for a new adventure. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Feats and Fables. If you'd like to support us, please visit our Patreon at patreon.com/featsandfables. Or, to delve deeper, visit our website at featsandfables.com. Our music is by Kevin MacLeod at incomtech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. This episode contained Fearless First, Heroic Age, Dark Times, The Forest and the Trees, and Five Armies. Our music is by Kevin MacLeod at incomtech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. This episode contained Heroic Age, Angevin B, Virtutes Instrumenti, Sovereign, and This House. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. It really does help.